is. Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or two. We've got a lot to get through today. By the way, can I just mention, it is a good day for Republicans. It's a good day for Conservatives. It's a good day for change because, of course, we've just heard that Nikki Haley in America has dropped out of the presidential race. A defeat after defeat to Donald Trump in the Republican primary contest. And this, of course, after Super Tuesday yesterday, where Donald Trump swept the board. Biden did okay as well, by the way, but only in the states he's predicted to do well. But the polling looks like Donald Trump is way ahead. Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States again. It is going to change the world. It is going to change a lot of things. And it's not just in America. It's happening worldwide. I can sense change right here in Ireland. I can sense a change. I can sense the wind changing direction. These people who believe they've been in power for a long time are only in power to line their own pockets. All across the world, we're seeing it, and we're seeing the change. We're seeing the change because people's eyes are now open. People can see what the problem is. They can see that politicians are really only self-serving at this stage. They're not listening to the people anymore. A classic example of that was during the week when we spoke to Sinn Féin. And they said, well, if this referendum, even though it's not worded properly, you know, we'll rerun it again. And they, as much as they agree the referendum is not worded properly, they're telling you to vote yes for something they admit is not worded properly. Why? Because they want to get into power again so they can run it again. They think of themselves. They're all thinking of themselves. Leo Varadkar turning around the other day and telling us that it's not the state's responsibility, of course, to look after people and to be carers. You know, he said he would do it himself, and it's our responsibility. Isn't that what the referendum says? Your family's responsibility. The government will only strive to help carers. Ah, look, you decide how you want to vote on Friday. By the way, we spoke to Brenda Power a little bit earlier on this morning in relation to Senator Sharon Keoghan's posters for the No campaign, which one of them, by the way, has been pulled by the referendum, or should I say the Electoral Commission, who have said that it misrepresents the truth. Sharon Keoghan stands over her poster and she says, no, it does not, because that particular poster says women will be forced to go out to work. She believes because the line has been removed from the Constitution that suggests that women can stay at home and the state should support them. And when that line is removed, women will have no choice but to go to work. That's what she believes. And she stands over it. And we did a bit of an interview this morning with journalist Brenda Power and barrister Brenda Power this morning in relation to that particular issue. You can have a listen to that. It's available right now on our website, nileboylan.com. Don't forget to go to the website, by the way. Please support us. It's the only way we can operate every single day is by your donations and also your subscriptions. So please do support us. First today, by the way, we want to talk about refugees. Now, this I'm going to read a piece from the Irish Times from last week, or last weekend, should I say, but the situation really hasn't changed. As of Friday, there were 1,103 immigrants waiting an offer of accommodation, according to the IPAS. Following calls from the Irish Refugee Council and across social media, the department said it would provide temporary shelter over last weekend because it was pretty cold, as you may remember. About 160 male asylum seekers, most of whom slept in tents in sub-zero temperatures last Thursday night, were provided with beds on Friday night as the cold weather response by the Department of Children and Integration. Roger Gorman's department. On Saturday morning, however, there are about 20 of them were back in their tents again, having been told that their accommodation was finished shortly before 8 o'clock in the morning. They said they'd been taken to a place near Dublin Airport late on Friday night, provided with sleeping bags but no mattresses. They said they had been given tea and biscuits before they left. So they were back again at the IPO headquarters and the International Protection Office in Dublin city centre, in their tents. One man from Pakistan said, we were so tired because we were standing all day yesterday waiting for buses. We do not understand why they give us bed just for one night. So we are setting up our tents and cleaning the street. Men were transported from outside the IPO centre from 7 o'clock on Friday to the accommodation in City West, the former Central Mental Hospital in Dundrum and a centre near Dublin Airport. Two coaches took the men to Dundrum while others travelled mainly in taxis to City West and the airport area. The bottom line is there is no accommodation for these or any of these 1,013 people. And those numbers are rising daily, of course, because as more and more people arrive and we have less and less accommodation, more and more people are lying on the streets. It is the coldest month of the year, there's no doubt about it. Many people have little or no sympathy. With some comments online saying, why would anybody arrive in a foreign country and expect a government to accommodate you and feed you? Our obligations are limited legally when it comes to people seeking international protection, but our obligations are not limited morally. And some people will say that on humanitarian grounds, we should be doing more and making sure that people are not out in sub-zero temperatures, sleeping in tents and bags. Now, I've been looking online at some of the comments. I'm going to say some of them quite clearly are just racist. You know, I'm surprised. As much as I have my feelings and my thoughts on immigration, and I blame the government squarely for the recklessness of their immigration policy, I blame the government squarely for the fact that people are sleeping in tents. That shouldn't be happening, but I don't blame those people. They took a chance. They abused the situation. They were allowed to abuse the situation. They were allowed to come to Ireland. You know, people take an opportunity. But here's the thing. I'm not asking you who you blame, because it's the government's fault. It's nobody else's fault. The government's fault. But do you have sympathy on humanitarian grounds? Do you have sympathy for people who are sleeping all over the city in tents, mainly migrants, who are sleeping in tents all over the city? Do you have sympathy for them? I want you to text or WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Just before we go to our first caller, Stephen, who is a regular caller to the show, wanted to have his say. He can't come on the air, but he wants to have a say, so he sent in a WhatsApp message.
Can't come on because I'm working. I do have a lot of sympathy for everybody coming to this country and fleeing persecution. Yes, they may have crossed several other countries to get here, but has it ever occurred to people that they may have used up all of the time that they were allotted in terms of protection and were unable to find accommodation or work in those countries and are so moving forward in order to try and keep themselves looked after and safe while they try their best to make it happen for themselves? Food for thought. Yes, this is going to be potentially the coldest month of the year. Yes, they housed nearly 100 men from the streets for one night. Of course, something more should be done. We have a legal obligation to look after these people.
Okay, well, Stephen said we have a legal obligation. Our legal obligations are limited, by the way, but our moral obligations are not limited on humanitarian grounds, and that's what I'm asking you today. Let me just go to Suzanne if I can. Suzanne, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Good, terrible sight to see people, you know, in the snow, in tents, realistically, isn't it? It's an awful sight.
Look, Niall, here's my take on it, and I'm saying this with no buts. I'm non-racist, and I'm pro-legal immigration, but the amount of asylum seekers that have now built up in Dublin is squarely on the government. Roger O'Gorman invited them in. These asylum seekers jumped through many different other countries that were much warmer, and they came to Ireland. So from a humanitarian perspective, I think there's a lot of kind of passive-aggressive emotional blackmail going on to people. And I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter last week. Well, can I make a proposal? There's empty churches. There is the Refugee Council, and I saw loads of people on Twitter last week. Oh, it's terrible. Why don't these people volunteer to take one in? Like, I, for one, am against the government's policy on allowing unvetted male asylum seekers in who have dumped their documentation at source. That's my big problem. I am totally pro people coming in here to work legally. I think that's a great thing. So I'm saying all these people who are chiming up about how it's terrible, if they feel that badly about it, why are they not putting their hands up to say, I will take one while they're being checked or being vetted or being placed?
That's kind of what you're talking about, the all are welcome people. Yeah.
The all are welcome people. They were all on Twitter last week. It's terrible. And there's politicians on. So I think there's a bit of government at play.
There's
here.
A bit of NIMBYism going on, isn't it? Yeah. Like in somebody else's backyard, but not in mine.
No. And like they're so passionate about it. And I'm so kind of, I have my own opinion, but I did tweet last week, take them in, volunteers to take them in. Like, Niall, I'm being honest, over the years, I have hosted numerous foreign students through my life when my kids were smaller. I've done it 3 years ago. No problem with people coming to stay in my house. If they're vetted and they come through a formal channel and it's all positive. Mm-hmm. So that's where I
Yeah, of course, your safety is paramount. Yeah, your own safety is paramount.
Your safety is paramount. But I'm saying the big thing for me is it's unfortunately, my stand is the government, Roderick, Leo supporting it, have brought them in. I heard through a source last week, a councillor source, that the government at the moment are just letting them build up there purposely because they want the message to go back to stop any more coming in. And that's another twist on it. So
there's also another twist that some are being sent now to the courts as they arrive in Ireland who have destroy the documentation. We've already seen one or two come before judges because it is a criminal offence to arrive in this country and purposely destroy your documentation or attempt to deceive the authorities. So one of them has already got a sentence. Now, that's you, because that wasn't happening over the last two or three years. So suddenly somebody has decided, we spoke to TD Michael McNamara yesterday about this, because somebody has now decided we're actually going to enforce the law. But again, I don't know whether this is optics, because realistically, if you're taking somebody who comes from a country who has no documentation, you're saying, right, we're going to give you 2 months in jail. I mean, 2 months in jail to somebody like that is accommodation, essentially. And then what happens after the 2 months? Do they get deported?
Look, I didn't know there was going to be snow last Friday. I woke up surprised like everybody else. I think there was a lot of families in Ireland who were on the breadline, who probably couldn't afford to put on their heat last Friday. Don't mind the refugees. And I there's a lot of me that says, as a person, as a human being, it must be awful. But again, I think it's passive aggressive, emotional.
But here's the problem, Suzanne. The horse has bolted, right?
Yeah.
We can all blame who we want, and I completely agree with you. The blame squarely lies with the government, with Rodrigo Gorman, Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin, and the rest of them, right? And Eamon Ryan, the whole lot of them, right? The blame lies, and by the way, I'll put Mary Lou in there as well, because she's only done a U-turn in recent times. So I'll put the whole lot of them in there. They've let them all in. They've allowed this reckless immigration policy to happen. So it's already done. These people are on the streets. So what's the solution now? And I see people on Twitter going, send them home, put them on planes, lines. And by the way, some of the stuff I've seen on Twitter has been disgraceful, can I just say, because it's not their fault. They're taking advantage of a situation. They're abusing a system we have. Yeah.
But Niall, there are I totally agree, but the Refugee Council and your man who runs it, they must have networks here where they could give them accommodation, provide them with some a bed and somewhere to stay. There's churches. There's multiple empty churches lying around Dublin at the moment. Like, it's putting the emotional blackmail back on the people who have said it for months. And I know the horse has bolted, but that's why I'm taking my stand to say it's just too little too late. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected snow last week. It was horrendous. And
they're expecting more snow next weekend. I think they're expecting the weather to get a lot colder again. I mean, February is always our coldest month.
Roderick needs to get his arse out of the referendum and figure a solution. As I say, there's enough churches, empty buildings. There's the Refugee Council. I'm sure there's been a lot of asylum seekers have hopefully been placed and are working. And there's a bed somewhere that they can rest. I don't want to see anybody out in the streets. But I do also feel, Niall, once the referendum is over on the 8th, the government will want all those, the 1,000 who are on the streets, I guarantee they want them moved off the streets before the Patrick's Day parade when all the tourists come in. So watch the next bit next week. There'll be a new plan next week, because nobody wants to see all the asylum seekers camped in Dublin when the American tourists are coming in.
Stay there for just a second, Suzanne, because I want to go to Dave in a second, but I just need to go to Morris quickly first if I can, because I know he's working. Morris, hi, how are you?
No, I'm grand. I'm on my lunch hour. Yeah, listen, you covered this many, many times, even on the old radio show and that. And I remember one incident I was telling your researcher about a lady from Nigeria. And she said, if you send me back, they'll mutilate my two children with female circumcision. She lied from the minute she got into the country until she was kicked out. And she cost the taxpayer.
I remember that story.
And legal fees. Do you remember?
I do.
And that lives with me, because that's somebody that's devious and a lawyer from the word go. Now, I have sympathy like everybody else. I'm a human being. I was reared by a woman who told me, if you can't give somebody a hand up, don't give them a handout, because they'll come to rely on you. Give a man a fishing rod and show him how to fish. Don't give him a fish and let me for one day. Like you said, I watched a man on the news at the weekend. Where are you from? I'm from Cameroon. I googled Cameroon. There's no illegal activity or people being persecuted in Cameroon.
No, it's a safe country.
He's here for financial reasons. And then another guy joined in beside him. Oh, I'm after making my way from Palestine with a Palestine hat on him. There's no way he came all the way from Palestine through Europe without documentation.
No way.
Everybody's put the word out. Get over to the land of milk and honey. Don't be paddy is handing out houses, food, milk and honey, everything, roof over your head, get your money.
But here's the thing, and I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think Suzanne more or less made the same point. I'm not disagreeing with you. They've taken an opportunity because we've made it very easy. But you can't blame them for that. That's their fault. Well, not my fault. My fault. It wouldn't be my fault, because if I was in government, I wouldn't let it happen. But it's the government's fault.
Yeah. But they're being devious because they're taking advantage. So they have.
Oh, well, they are. Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, exactly. So what we say, why should you treat people equally and fairly when they're being devious, coming here saying, oh, I'm being persecuted, I'll be killed if you sent me back. And they're telling lies because all they want is money and benefits.
But I know somebody personally who is being devious, for example, who wanted to get into the United States. So what he's done is he's gone to Mexico and he's gone across the border himself, right? So that's being devious. And I know people who are being devious all over the world. And we've been devious for years. The Irish were devious too. We went to America, you know, and we went on a holiday visa and we stayed and we got a job. But I'm going to put a little caveat in there. We didn't expect the American government to accommodate us and feed us while we were there. We worked, all right? But here's the thing. So they're arriving here. They've been told there'll be accommodation for them because that's what all their mates are telling them. And we've allowed that to happen. It's not like if we had said at the border, sorry, you can't come in here. You've no documentation. Back on the plane, back to where you came from. That's what we should be
doing. Exactly. They should have stopped that.
Okay, but the point is the horse is bolted. They're there now. So what do we do now?
Exactly. What do we do now? We say to them, we can't look after you. So we're prepared to give you some money to go back to the country where you came from.
Yep.
And that's it. One-way ticket, end of story, there you go, out you go. Like I said, it's mental. Like, I believe there's thousands of people getting flights from China to Mexico and they're nipping across the border.
Yeah.
Could never get in as easy. Well,
here's the thing. Secretly, Joe Biden organized planes. This is how bad it is in America. 280,000 people on secret planes to bring them in.
Yeah.
But you know why, don't you? Because he wants voters for the election. But anyway, that's beside the point.
They couldn't vote.
Well, they will. They'll do it by postal vote. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, this is not just an Irish problem.
No. Dublin is swamped. Dublin can't cope anymore. People are hanging around the offices over there in Mount Street to see if they can, you know, they're right beside where they can. It's unreal. Get open up the old army bases and put them in there. If you have to open up Spike Island, put them on Spike Island. Give them a room.
Do you have sympathy? Do you have sympathy for them?
I've sympathy for any human being. If you're coming here to pull the wool over my eyes, I've no sympathy for you because you're being devious before you even got here.
All right, Morris. Yeah. Morris, thank you for that. Let me just go to Dave. Dave, you kind of disagree and you've probably a bigger level of sympathy.
Huh?
Have you sympathy for these people who are out in tents?
I mean, I've sympathy for anybody, be them a refugee or an Irish homeless person sleeping in a tent on a cold night. I mean, that's just basic humanity, isn't it?
Well, you imagine so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
You know, we're all human beings. Like, I don't believe everyone coming here is, you know, a rapist or a murderer or a potential terrorist. I mean, like, you know, a lot of them, like, let's put it this way. If you or I were in their positions and we saw, you know, Ireland being the way as you know, nice as it looks, probably from their perspective, we'd do the same thing. We would do the exact same thing they're doing. It's like, it's not their fault trying to come here from, you know, not great countries for a better life. I mean, the anger is being directed at the wrong place. It should be being directed towards the people who let this shit show get so bad as it is. I mean, I more or less agree with the sentiment of everybody else. I do feel sympathy for them. I do. Like, you know, we're all human beings at the end of the day. But at the same time, we don't have the room or the infrastructure to deal with such a massive influx of people in such a short space of time. You know, and like, it should be like, if you show up at an airport and you don't have documents or a passport, you should be turned around, put back on a plane, and sent back to whatever country you came from, and let them deal with you. Like, I mean, we've done enough as a small country for the rest of Europe. I mean, we're paying off most of Europe's banking crisis. You know, we're a small nation with a small economy. We're in the grips of a health crisis, a housing crisis, school shortages. How are we supposed to deal with all these people on top of the problems we already have here?
I'm looking at some of the messages. There's a message here that says, no, there's a positive in this situation. I don't think, how can you get a positive out of it? But anyway, there's a positive in this situation that the people are seeing. Word spreads fast in the economic migrant community, and they will be telling each other, don't bother coming here because you will be left on the streets. This will deter more of these people coming over and abusing our system.
You see, I wonder about that, right? Because let's be honest, right? The guys we have running the show, they're all a bunch of chicken shits. There's not a single spine. We may as well have a doll full of octopuses at the moment, right? Do you think that they're allowing this to happen because they're too gutless to turn around and actually enforce proper immigration policies? But they're like, if we let it get so bad, people might stop coming here because they don't want to sleep on the streets. Like, do you think that's actually a plan?
It's mind blowing the level of intelligence within Leinster House. Like, it really is.
You mean lack thereof?
Oh, the lack thereof. It is mind-blowing.
Mara's mentioned, right? Look, people will be happy with this idea, right? But what about if someone's like, Dave, you arrive at the airport, you know documentation, we're like, where'd you come from? We'll give you €1,000 for you to go home. Now, people will be pissed off that they're getting €1,000. But in the grand scheme of things and the money that's been pissed up against the wall on all this, might that be like a net benefit in the long run?
Okay, Suzanne, is that a net benefit? Would it be worth financially the Minister of Justice saying, okay, let's organise the flights, let's pay for the flights? Suzanne, are you still there? Sorry.
I am. Yeah. And I totally agree. And Dave, it should have been that way from day one. I came in on a Ryanair flight sometime middle of January, and for the first time ever, when I came down the steps at 11:30 at night, there was border control at the door before we entered the airport, and that was great. But, you know, my son, I'm just saying, just, and I know people talk about this whole, you know, bullshit about Irish people went to the States for many years. My son went to the States 10 years ago on a green card. He had to jump through hoops to get that green card. He had to go through multiple interviews. He worked in a shithole bar for a year, couch surfing on different people's couches till he got himself established. He owns two businesses now. No other country up to now was, and I know now you said people are sneaking into the US, and yes, they are. But the, you know, the disadvantage is they are illegal. They can't come home. Like, the status of being illegal is so much better than this. But we're actually saying to illegal people, come in. We'll give you a tent. We'll do our best to get you a car. Like, to me, it's just crazy. And I hope for everybody giving out this morning on this call, I think you got your old vote no-no. I'm just throwing in a no-no
for Friday. Okay. Okay.
I can't understand. Now, one last thing. Where people know this is happening, and everybody I speak to, they've been afraid to speak up, which really annoys me. That's why I speak up. People are afraid to speak up for fear of being labelled far right, and we're not. We're just realistic. But the other thing is, anybody in this country who can trust a government who puts us in this position and who literally goes in on Thursday and votes the competence of an incompetent government, I'm just dreading if this gets through. I'm just wringing my hands in despair.
Okay, do me a favour, actually, Suzanne. Stay with me for a second. Dave, stay with me. I just got to take a quick break.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Live every day and available for download from all your usual platforms. Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. But all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up, but not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast. They told me to shut up. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text on 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. If you want to complain to the boss, just send a...
There you go. You want to complain to the boss, just send a you-know-what. Anyway, let me go. I have to go to Saoirse, but let me just go to Albert if I can as well. Stay there, please, Suzanne and Dave. Albert, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Good, thanks. I listened to all the comments, and I agree with them all. It's a very good show so far. But talking about giving them €1,000 to get rid of them, some of them are paying up to €10,000 to get here. So I don't think €1,000 is going to get rid of them.
It's like human trafficking, isn't it, really, to be honest with you? Well, it is human trafficking. I mean,
you must
okay.
be giving them €20,000 or €30,000 to get them away.
But when you see the scenes in RT News over the weekend of, you know, lines and lines of tents, particularly up around Mount Street at the iPass Centre, I mean, do you have sympathy? What are you saying to yourself? Are you saying God bless them, God love them, or are you saying for feck's sake?
No, I don't have any sympathy for them, simply on the basis that, you know, they're coming here, they have their smartphones, they know what Ireland is like, they've researched Ireland, they've been told what Ireland is like, they know the accommodation is like over here, because everybody, you know, for the last 6 months know how bad it is. And they're still pouring in, and they will still pour in. I mean, they're coming in every day. Leo Varadkar, the other day, said it himself. Mm-hmm. Can't keep up with the other people coming into the country. I mean, like, where is this going to end? I mean, how many accommodation centres are they going to build? How long is it going to take them to build them?
Well, they won't announce. You know, they want to build three large accommodation centres, which will hold 800 each. These are three new ones. They won't say where they're building them, and they said they're not going to announce it until after the elections. You know why, don't you?
And those three centres will only last 3 months because they want to build another three because that's the rate they're coming in at.
Mm. They want to build centres like City West, for example, which is the biggest accommodation centre at the moment. They want to build large accommodation centres.
It'll take 2 years to build. It'll take 2 years to build something like that.
Well, they've got to build three of them. I mean, looking out Naas or whatever it is in Kildare, where they have those fields now filled with these porter cabins. I mean, it's just crazy. It's getting absolutely ludicrous at this stage. Because we're already short on housing. We were short on housing up to 2 years ago. So when we do eventually start getting to grips with building social housing, you know, those people are still going to be sitting in those porter cabins because there's 80,000 people on the housing list before them. Those people even came to this country. So what are we going to do? Where are they all going to go? Because most of them are unskilled workers. They're not going to get a job that will allow them to pay a mortgage.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of them are coming here with a little English.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to ask yourself, why are they coming to a little island on the periphery of Europe? I mean, are they being told to come here? Are they being sent here by somebody else? What is behind this? It's crazy. They're passing through four or five other countries before they get here.
I spoke to an Algerian man on the radio 3 or 4 weeks ago there, and he went to 14 countries before he came to Ireland. He stayed in 14 different... And I said, well, then why did you come to Ireland? And he said, because they weren't giving me enough money and I was left sitting on the streets in some countries. Whereas when I came to Ireland, I got somewhere to stay. And I said, where are you staying now? And he says, I'm in an apartment in Rakar.
Yeah. And you can also look at, you know...
Yeah, an apartment in Rakar, Suzanne, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. If they were in a country next to them, in the warm country, the UN would be providing them with tents. The UN would be feeding them. There's no drain on the country they're in other than the space they're taking up. But when they come over here, the country has to bend over backwards to accommodate them. I mean, something's bloody well wrong here. Seriously wrong.
Okay, we'll stay there, just the three of you, because I want to go to Saoirse as well. Saoirse, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall.
Hello, Saoirse. Now, Saoirse, I mean, look, I think most people have sympathy for any human being who's out in the cold in a tent. But, you know, it shouldn't be happening.
I'm not hearing any sympathy here, Niall, on your show. I must have missed the sympathetic part. All I'm hearing is cold judgment. That man referred to these people coming in as them, as if he thinks there's some great replacement. Why are they coming here? Why does a human being leave their country of origin to live in a tent? Why would that be? Because the situation they're leaving is so dire, they are desperate. And for the woman who's concerned being painted a racist, your concern is correct. Because
no,
deep down...
No, I'm racist. Don't dare call me a racist. Don't
can I
dare
finish?
Call me a racist.
Can I finish?
I'm going, no, can I no, finish? I won't hear you call me a racist because that's not correct.
She said, and she made it very clear, that anybody who has that view is either painted as a right-wing or a racist.
So,
And Saoirse, you're doing exactly what she said. That's what people do. People do it to me all the time.
I think we all need to go back to the drawing board to learn what racism is.
What you explain to me what racism is. Racism turning around and making a logical statement that we don't have enough accommodation, we don't have the wherewithal to deal with all of the people coming into the country. Is that a racist statement,
what,
is it?
I'll tell you.
I don't, by the way, particularly care in most cases where somebody who's an economic migrant is coming from. Everybody wants a better life. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, I'll tell you something that we all know is true. The color of these people's skin is making everybody uncomfortable. And that's a fact.
It doesn't make me uncomfortable.
That is ridiculous,
okay.
Saoirse.
Let Suzanne respond to that. Suzanne, hang on, Saoirse. Let Suzanne respond to what you just said.
Saoirse, you have actually deemed yourself racist by making that comment. That is the most ridiculous comment. To even bring somebody's color into a conversation is completely ridiculous. And I'm saying to you, if the 1,000 people that were in the tents in Mount Street were white or black or yellow or green, it makes no difference. My point of view is they are asylum seekers who dumped their paperwork. We have no track on who they are or where they came from. They are unvetted. They are unsafe. We don't know whether they're criminals, whether they're hijackers. We have no idea where they are. And let me just continue to say, I said it at the beginning of the show, over the years, I have taken in language students all my life at varying stages for different reasons from every culture in the world. I've welcomed them into my house. Same deal. You get paid whatever, 200 a week, they go to college, of all races, of all nationalities. My concern is legal immigration, legal people coming with documents. There is some track on who they are, where they're from, and what they're about. So I'm just going to stop you there and say, by you bringing up skin color, tells me that you are actually, you have the racist problem, not me.
Okay, congratulations on accommodating some
students. Have you accommodated anybody? You care about them so much. Have you accommodated anybody?
I don't discuss my personal life on a talk show.
Right.
All I can say to you is that this country is afraid of the black man.
You know, can I just say, Saoirse, already now in this whole show, you're the only one mentioning skin colour.
Yeah.
Yes.
The only one.
Is the elephant in the room.
No, it's not. No, it's not the elephant in the room for me. I don't even see skin colour. I haven't mentioned skin colour. I've been dealing with this topic for the last, God knows, 8-9 years, particularly when it comes to direct provision, and I have never mentioned skin colour. You're the one mentioning skin colour.
Because I am not deluded. No,
you clearly are very deluded, but go on.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
I don't see skin colour, Boylan. Okay, what a coincidence that you're a white man. Of course.
Oh, I have a privilege, have I? Do I have a privilege?
Of course you do.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Okay.
Let me ask you this, Niall.
Right, okay.
Tomorrow morning, if I told you I'm going to take you and I'm going to turn you into a black man in this country,
why would you do that? Do you not think that's racist in itself to even suggest you
would
do that?
Why don't you go along with me for this thought experiment? Would you have a concern? Would you know deep in your heart that you would suddenly be down the pegging order? I think you do. I think we all know that. There is racism in this country, and whether or not you want to look inside your heart and see it, it is there. I'm sorry to tell
you. So are you telling me that we wouldn't have concerns if there was, for example, 6 months ago or 10 months ago, 1,000 Irish people in tents in Mount Street? Because they might be white.
I'm telling you, the response wouldn't be so fearful.
That's because they're from Ireland and they're citizens of Ireland. People have a different response because it's unnecessarily happening. That's why.
No,
Saoirse, you don't really have a logical brain cell, do you?
Excuse me. Can I say, very nice, Nan, very nice. So can I say, we are afraid of the black man. End of story.
God,
and the other thing I'll say is, can I point out one thing that is so depressingly absent from this conversation? Okay?
Yeah, are you afraid of the black man? You said we. But go on.
Excuse me, can I say, the idea that these people could improve and enrich our country is absent from any of you because you are
so... No, it's not. If you listen to what Suzanne said, and even Albert, I think, mentioned it as well, over the years, we've been very welcoming in this country. We have people working in our hospitality industry, in our healthcare industry, for the Philippines and places like that, in India and Pakistan, all over the world, who come here to the normal channels. They get a visa to work in this country, and we're very welcoming, and we have a very diverse nation, and we welcome everybody.
What a kind of an ignorant statement to make. As if
do you understand? Do you understand immigration law? Do you have any understanding of immigration law? Or are you just some sort of mad lefty?
I'm sorry. Can I ask you? So you're happy to accept that the current laws and ways for people to get access to what they need, they're perfect, are they?
There's no laws are perfect, clearly, but we do have immigration laws, and we allow people to come to Ireland under the immigration process through visas, or we allow people to claim asylum as well in this country because it's part of our obligations. Yeah, but we're talking about people who arrive in the country. Over 80% of those who are arriving at Dublin Airport have no or little or no documentation, and they've destroyed it on the way to deceive
our
authorities.
Excuse me, you are using that fact to stir up hatred towards those individuals rather than push it back on the people in charge of that system.
Were you listening to the show from the very start, Saoirse, or did you have your listening ears switched off when I said it wasn't these people's fault, it was the government's fault? When Suzanne said it was the government's fault, are you listening or are you just coming on with your own little agenda?
I take your point that you said it, right? You said the words. The fact is...
I said the words, but they're meaningless to you.
Excuse me. The fact is, this conversation does nothing but stir vile hatred.
Okay, so we all should shut up. Let's. Well, okay, let's all. I tell you what, Suzanne, lovely knowing you. Albert, lovely knowing you. Sir, should, we should all just. No, don't go yet. We should all just. We should all just shut up, should we, sir? Just to keep you happy.
There are ways to have conversations. Have a look at the comments online. I'm sure everybody's enjoying my appearance today. I'm sure they're very reasonable, civilized comments. Are they, Niall?
I'm not looking at them at the moment, but I'm pretty sure you're not the hero of the conversation.
No, because the people listening and contributing to this kind of conversation are scum.
Oh.
Ooh.
Albert, do you want to respond to Saoirse there before I lose the run of myself?
Yeah, I mean, look, my point on this is mainly economic. We can't afford this. We're not treating our own people in the same way, in the sense of we're not actually looking after them. Look at the homeless that we already have, the Irish homeless. Look at the old people who aren't getting enough from the social welfare, who are living in cold weather. And we're trying to accommodate hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people from other countries who come in here simply as...
Albert!
I mean, look, I have a lot of pity for people who have a problem, or people who are persecuted, or people who are at war. The problem is, Africa, half of Africa is at war. That's the problem. How many of them are we going to take?
Okay, he's making a point there, Saoirse. And many of the people that have come to Ireland seeking protection. Now, you understand what seeking protection means. To seek international protection, there's a criteria that you must be coming from persecution, your life must be in danger, all of those things. There's five parts of the criteria, right? But in saying that, many of those people are coming from what are designated, Saoirse, as safe countries. Places like Albania, Georgia. These are not countries at war. You can go on holidays to these places if you really wanted to. They're not at war.
Could I explain something to you, Niall?
Yeah. Because I'm so stupid, I don't understand.
You've just mansplained something very well to me. So now I'll womansplain something back to you.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry. Cool.
You don't need to be from a particular country to seek asylum. I could seek asylum in another country. It depends on your personal set of circumstances.
No, it doesn't.
One of which, yes, it does. Get your researcher out.
There are designated countries that you can claim asylum from. There are other countries that you can't claim asylum from.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's incorrect. You can attempt to claim asylum from any country. That's international law.
That's provided the Minister for Justice... Okay, so there is a criteria to seeking international protection or asylum. You will be refused if you are from a safe country. But the Minister of Justice can intervene if she believes she can give you the right to remain. Do you need to understand the legislation properly, Saoirse, before you start pontificating on the air?
Excuse me, you've just proved my point.
But that's only with an intervention from the Minister for Justice.
Yes, and all of these cases have to be decided. So that is why these people
are... Oh, God.
They have yet to be decided.
Exactly, Suzanne.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Do you have
faith in the Minister for Justice, by the way, Saoirse? I'm sure you do.
I have no faith in this government. That's the only thing I have in common with anybody on this call.
So, Saoirse, I have other people want to come on, too. I have other people want to...
I'm civilized enough to realize that it is not these poor, poor humans' fault that our government is incompetent.
Well, at least we all agree on that bit, that the government are incompetent. So what Suzanne suggested was...
incompetent.
Yeah, we all agree with that part. Yeah. So Suzanne had suggested that, you know, what we do is, you know, open some churches, put them in there. The Irish Refugee Council, I'm sure they might be able to afford a few places to put people into for the time being. And also the suggestion, Saoirse, was that we give people their plane fare to go back to where they came from.
Okay, and do you think that if these people got a boat and paid money that their situation... It's somehow something they want to go back to. You're not understanding the reality.
Do you understand where most of them actually come from? A lot of them are actually just coming from the United Kingdom and France.
We're saying give them the option. That's what we're saying, Niall. Sorry, I just need to say that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you exactly how many of them will go back. Zero. Because they've made the journey in the first place. And if you had any idea of what it takes a human being to leave their family, their country, their culture, for some glimmer of a chance at a better life, which in this case is a tent, then no, of course they won't take that. But of course, I'll offer it to them. Why not? Waste your time. Why not?
Okay, this is just some of the WhatsApp messages that are coming in here at the moment, by the way. I just want to play one or two of these.
Some comments about Saoirse. I love Saoirse. Leave her alone. I think she's working for the government. Switch her off. Fruitcake. Niall, you're too hard on her. Cheers, pal.
These people are obsessed with race. Every conversation is about race. We have people in tents because they came over on an invitation from the Minister for Integration, and they were getting apartments and money, and that dried up because people are protesting and people are getting angry. So the government have nowhere else to put them, and there's not as much support as there was, and now they're in tents. So this squeaky Mrs. Squeaky over here is the actual racist, because she sees the world through generalizations and labels that she attaches to groups of people, based on a merit scale that she invented and her perceived disadvantage of what that group of people have. So she is the racist. These people that constantly call other people racist are the actual racist. They see the world in generalizations. They attach merits to groups of people. I mean, it's actually crazy, because every ism, every minority, like orientation, gender, all that, they separate people into these groups, and they give these people merits on the perceived disadvantage of what they have. That is...
Can I respond to Connor or John or whatever his name is? Man, what world does he live in? Sorry, does he live in some kind of utopia where everything is equal? Yes, the world is divided into different levels of privilege. Of course it is. Where does he live?
I don't know where he lives, Saoirse. He's just a person who sent in a WhatsApp message about your comments, you know, calling anybody who doesn't... Your comments, what you're essentially saying is that anybody who says we need to do something about this, i.e. stop letting people into the country that we can't accommodate, you're the one who brought skin colour into the conversation to say nobody else did, just you.
Okay, so anybody who points out racism is racist. What, are we living in La La Land?
We're pointing out that you're the one who brought skin colour into it. That's what people are saying. Nobody else.
Right.
Nobody else. Doesn't matter where people are from. We don't care.
But we do care. That's silly. We do
care. No, we don't care. It doesn't matter where people are coming from in the world. Okay. They're in tents. That's the problem.
Yeah, okay. Would we have this kind of lock up our daughters and stay away from the men in tents if they were from Scotland? I don't think so. Let's be honest. We can't begin the conversation until
Ireland
has
always... That's a stupid, stupid comment. Ireland has always had open borders with Scotland. That's a silly... ourselves and the United Kingdom have had an agreement for the last God knows how many years.
Let's pick another one. Canada, then. Let's just pick another predominantly white country. If these men were white, we wouldn't be having this level of hysteria and immense...
How do you know?
Because we have people in the real world.
Ukrainians have been coming here. They're white, predominantly.
And we haven't had this...
Yes, we have. We have. We did have a level of conversation, a big conversation about people abusing our system and about too many people coming into the country from Ukraine. We did have that conversation.
We have had annoyance. We have had anger. We have had not had...
Sure did. And Ryan Tuberty himself... Did you call him a racist at the time when he went on the radio and at the very start of the crisis in Ukraine, and he said, you know, in a very passionate way, and I think he meant it in the best possible way, by the way, but he was talking about looking at the people, you know, getting onto trains in Ukraine and fleeing the country. And he said, you know what? They look just like us. In other words, they were white. And he said, that's why we care about it so much. Is that racism?
Point.
Is that racism to try to say that?
Thank you for proving my
point. Is that racism for him to turn around and say that?
I think at the heart of that is an idea that there is them and there is us. And these black men are not us. Therefore, we are afraid.
You are the one making that comment on the air today, and I think it's despicable, Saoirse. You should be ashamed of yourself. You really should be ashamed of yourself.
If you can't tell that I'm illustrating a point, I'm...
You're not illustrating any point.
To have a conversation.
People want to have a conversation about immigration into Ireland. People want to have a conversation about how we treat people properly and how we do it humanitarily. People are having a conversation about whether we really have that much sympathy when people come from another country and expect a government to accommodate them.
I am very concerned at your inability to notice the nuance in what I just said.
I'm very concerned at your inability to understand what racism actually is. If you went, by the way, if you went to America tomorrow illegally for a better life, let's say you didn't have a good job here, whatever, things weren't going too well, our economy was on the slide, and you decided, I'm going to America for a better life, but I can't get a visa because I'm a bit too young, I don't have enough money in my bank account because there's some criteria to getting a visa, and you decided, a friend said, look, she can just go on a holiday visa, you know, and just stay, get a job. All right. Would you expect the American government to give you social welfare and put you up in accommodation and feed you?
You know, can I respond to that sincerely?
Oh, I wish you would, yeah.
I'll respond. Okay, so there's two parts to my answer here, and I'd love if you let me finish. Number one, I would take advantage of whatever I could, okay? Number two, I don't think, and I'm going to say this now, and I really hope people listen, I don't think there would be grown adults on the radio or on a podcast crying and freaking out about me being there. Why is that? Because I'm a white woman.
No, because you didn't answer my question. Okay, I'll ask you again in a few minutes. I need to go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Advantage of anything I could.
Okay, John.
That's what people do.
Yeah, but you might take advantage, but you wouldn't expect it, would you? So that's the point I was making. Sorry, John, okay, well, hang on, Saoirse.
I am plenty of Irish Jew.
Sorry, John, go ahead.
Neil, that's only a child. You're ridiculous having the likes of that. 10 minutes or... Listen, I demand 10 minutes now of proper common sense discussion, okay?
Can you just get to the point, John? Yeah?
Yeah, I have. Now, I've spent many winters in Gran Canaria, one of the Canary Islands. Hundreds of illegal migrants arrive here on the Canary Islands every week of the year in rickety old fishing boats. I've seen the boats disembark, the Red Cross, Guardia Civil on the harbour. They journey from mainland Africa and they're now tracked by satellite, right?
Mm-hmm.
On arrival, they're tested for TB and various infections and taken to old army barracks in the mountains and fed direct provision style for a while. Right?
Yes, John.
10,000 of them are incarcerated on Gran Canaria, 25,000 in similar prisons in Tenerife. No lawyers or visitors are allowed into these barracks, and the Guardia Civil are permanently stationed at the gates to make sure they remain there until a plane is found to repatriate them to Madrid to bring them back to where they came from. There's no lawyers or government quangos or government NGOs or Nick Hendersons facilitating endless appeal for years and years through the Spanish courts, up to the Supreme Court. It's unheard of in Spain and many other European nations. Now, that said, the world is undergoing a global upheaval at present as never seen before. And Africa is the epicentre of an unprecedented population exodus. There are millions and millions of people living in Africa in extreme poverty. Now, also a brutal demographic growth, the highest in the world. The lack of education for responsible maternity, the scarce use of contraceptives and the cultural and religious practices are causing this growth. The fertility rate in Africa is 4.7 births per mother, while in Europe it's 1.2. And there's no problem having all these children as long as you want, as many as you want, as long as you have resources to provide for them. But this is not everything. Climate change is accelerating desertification all over Africa. Less rain means less water, less food, less, more people equals disaster. It's a dangerous combination, and that's why our European continent is under an invasion at the moment. Also, more conflicts are arising in the African continent every day, making things worse for millions of people. Now, it's expected, official figures, that 400 million people or more will want to emigrate to Europe in the next 50 years, which means around 8 million people a year. And most of them coming from Africa and the Middle East, there's no jobs for these people. How can we properly welcome and help those numbers? It's an extremely complex situation for our governments and institutions, our societies, just because there are too many coming too fast to a territory that's already dealing with 20 million unemployed Europeans. Today, Ursula von der Leyen discussed a British-style Rwanda solution because the Socialist and Democratic parties bloc in the EU see Nazi-style extreme right-wing parties growing in power and voting numbers, and because of the lack of ability to deal with the invasion of illegal migrants.
Now, John, I am limited because I have other people to go to, but John, the people that are currently, when we started off talking about people in tents in Dublin, due to what I would class as a reckless immigration policy that we have, Saoirse obviously is defending those people, saying they're coming here for a better life and we should be more sympathetic and understanding.
Of course they are coming to a better life. But I just said it to you. Can we deal with 400 million people in the next 50 years in Europe?
I wouldn't do to a dog what you described.
You know nothing. John, you haven't studied anything in the European context.
In fairness, Saoirse, John did have all his facts and figures. He sounds like he has researched this intensely. You don't. You're just coming on and being reactionary.
Okay, so John sounds as if he's read out a demented Leaving Cert essay.
At least John does his research, unlike you. Saoirse, quick, make it quick. I have two other people to go to.
No, I have to say this. What you described at the beginning of that...
He's asked... Look, Saoirse, do you know what he's talking about? The fact that he mentions 400 million people over the next 50 years coming across to Europe in exodus.
I'll tell you this, Niall, if you allow me to speak.
Answer Neil's question. Don't tell him any rubbish. Answer how we're going to deal with 8 million migrants a year when there are no jobs. You don't get a job because your mommy and daddy probably live in Fox Rock and you'll go to university.
Answer the question, Saoirse.
I will say this. This is what I will say. I wouldn't do to a dog what you described at the beginning of your essay there, okay? And I cannot listen to anything from somebody who is celebrating...
He didn't. No. He explained to you what's happening in the Canary Islands. That's what he explained. Yeah, and you, if you want to take issue with the government and the people or the governor of the Canary Islands, you do that and write to them. But we're asking you, he's asked you a logical question. What are you going to do with 8 million people every year when we already have a crisis across Europe for housing, for employment and everything else? What are you going to do with them? That's what he's asking you.
Please,
if you could make it quick.
Okay, well, this has been a waste of time the last 2 minutes, and I could have answered it. So you cannot justify treating people like dogs by the vague threat of some kind of mass migration that all of you hysterical men are pointing to. Why don't we fix the country we have and incorporate new people into it to make it stronger? What about that vision of the future that none of you seem capable of having? You are a disgusting man, John, okay? And your essay was disgusting.
You will never have to worry about finding a house to live in on a basic wage if any of those migrants are lucky enough to get a basic wage job as a cleaner or as a supermarket attendant. You are an educated little girl talking a load of nonsense. You're from Fox Rock and your parents will get you to university and you'll be one of the lawyers growing fat on the endless appeals that the existing lawyers are already growing fat on with all this nonsense that goes on in this country.
Well, hang on. I have a lot of people to go to. John, thank you very much indeed for that. I have to go to Karen in LA. Sorry, LA, I do apologise. Karen, go ahead for us quickly.
Hi, Niall. I feel sympathy for anybody who finds themselves homeless. But first and foremost, we have to have sympathy more for our own people. And our own people have to be looked after first. We have about 13,500 to 14,000 people in Ireland homeless. But how can we ever expect to look after anybody else when we can't look after our own? And this falls solely on the responsibility of the government of the day. The Greens, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have wrecked this country for decades and decades to come. Mm-hmm. They're allowing Roger McGorman announce to the world, all welcome, come.
He did, in many different languages, by the way, he did it, many different languages.
Exactly, and I mean, the people that are coming into our country at the moment, well, around 2022, 2023, Georgians are at the top, followed by Algeria. Now, as far as I check, there's no war in Georgia, and the current economic crisis, or the current economic situation is probably similar, inflation-wise, to ourselves. So they're coming out of, what are economic migrants? But even do they even meet that status? Why are they coming here to our country? Are they living in tents in their own country? So why come in? And first and foremost, what really angers me about all of this is when they get off the plane with no documentation. Sorry, get back on that plane and get back to where you come from. You have no business coming to our country without documentation. Because Niall, if you and I went to Dublin Airport tomorrow morning, or we arrived in from another country into Dublin. through unless we could prove we had documentation. But they arrive with zero documentation and then they claim asylum. For what? What war are you fleeing? What persecution are you fleeing? Tell me that. Break that down for me. Because Albania, Algeria, Georgia, they meet no status whatsoever, be it as a refugee status or an economic migrant.
But they will still accept them as asylum seekers if they are from those what they're called designated safe countries. But what will happen is their asylum will be rejected. Now, then it is up to the Minister for Justice, but of course, who can give them right to remain.
Look at that process in itself.
I know,
look what that's costing the state.
I know.
You know, look what that's costing.
And they have to be accommodated then while that process, while
exactly.
we go through that process.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, but Karen, do you when you see people in tents? We started the conversation off was talking about you know people having sin. When you see people in tents, you know in Mount Street at the back of the IPAS Centre last week alone, there was 1,103 people, you know who we couldn't give accommodation to, and those numbers are growing constantly all the time. Do you have a level of sympathy when you see them in the snow in the tents, or do you think well no they shouldn't be here?
As a human being, I do. Of course, I do. As a human being, I do. But at the end of the day, if you've come here and you're prepared to put up with it to get into our country and you want to live in a tent, then that's on you. How can you expect me to have sympathy for you? Go back to the country you came from. Or if they want to come into our country, come in the legal way, come in the proper way, come in with your documentation. Show us proof that you're fleeing persecution. Show me the proof. They're not doing any of that.
Very quickly, Saoirse.
If you look at these people, can I just say now, when you look at these people, I've seen many videos on social media. A lot of these people come in, they have the best of gear on them, Nike, Adidas, all the designer gear. They have the best iPhones, the best of everything. A lot of them are very good English, by the way. So where they learn the English? Because they're coming in from into the UK, down into Belfast, and then sometimes into Ireland as well. Or they're coming off the plane and dispose of their documentation. So I've no sympathy for them. And the NGO of Iraq are also responsible for this as well. They're encouraging them, and they're telling them exactly what to say, and they're telling them exactly how to follow the process. And guess what? You'll get into Ireland. And all of a sudden, then, with Niall Richmond. So if we allow these people to come into our country, Niall Richmond has said Neil Richmond, sorry, to come into this country and work within 2 months. And who's that going to affect more? It's going to affect people, working class people and people on the margins. It's going to affect them more. It's never going to affect people in Fox Rock or all these D4 places. It's never going to affect these because the people at the top of everything and they don't rely on the public services because they can pay for everything privately.
Okay. Well, hang on. Sorry, Saoirse. It's not going to affect you with your silver spoon. It's going to affect working class people as well. Those who are already seeking accommodation.
And it always does because they drain the services that working class people.
Okay, wait. Well, let her respond. Let her respond to that, please, if you can. Go ahead.
I mean, I have never said anything about my personal circumstance. So you're all presuming. And secondly...
No, in fairness, you told us about 4 weeks ago you came from a very good background.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything about my current situation. And I would just say, did that woman seriously ask, where do these people learn English? Is this the level that we're at?
Exactly. Where are they learning English, Turka? How come they have to speak very well? But then if you ask them a certain question about immigration, they say, me know nothing. Or all of a sudden they play stupid and dumb and me know nothing. I don't understand. But then I've seen several videos online in Dublin where people have recorded and people, especially like the Philip O'Dwyer and these people, citizen journalists that go around and they speak to them. They can speak English then. But then if an immigration officer asks them a question, they play all dumb and they...
Okay, Karen.
It's a scam.
Okay, Karen, let her respond. Sorry.
I'll just say one thing. The government has won. You are hysterical and you are directing your hysteria towards people who have nothing while the government are sitting back and they are gleeful. And this is a game and everybody on this call, humanity is losing, okay? And the government is winning. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, Saoirse, thanks very much indeed. Let me go to LA. LA, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
Good, LA. What do you want to say?
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I think I told you before that I've been campaigning for the homeless since 2003.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
I just like to say something. This is a fact, and I'd like anyone to challenge me on it. Fingal County Council and Dublin City County Council have been stealing the tents from the Irish homeless. And they're not all Irish. So we have Croatian fellas, American fellas, but they're here homeless a long time. So they're Irish homeless, right? Now, they steal the tents.
Let me clarify this. When you say steal the tents, when you mean steal
them? Oh, the council come along and just rip the tent up and off they go. Now, I'd like to know, is that the tents that the migrants are now sleeping in?
Well, I would hate to think so. I believe the IPAS Centre are providing these tents, by the way.
Okay.
I don't doubt very much they're stealing them from one homeless person.
They are stealing the tents, and whether the government tells them or not that that's okay to do that, it's not. They are stealing the tents. We have a guy across the way. They finally gave him a six-month accommodation. 6 months, that's not permanent. And they lifted his tent the other day with personal photographs that he wouldn't bring into a hostel. You wouldn't bring anything into the hostel. And he left his good belongings here, personal things, to him in his tent, and they just came along, lifted it up and took it away. So where are those tents going? Why are they doing that to the Irish homeless? Like, the thing is, at the end of the day, this referendum is costing 23 million. 23 million. Surely, and people are just confused about it. They don't even know what's going on, right? By the way, I'd be voting no if I was to vote. And as the lady said on primetime last night, she said it's political virtue signalling exercise.
Okay.
23 million euro spent on that. Why didn't they spend that money on housing these migrants? And by the way, Saoirse, I am not
She's gone.
She'd still be listening.
Can I just mention again, I want to mention Saoirse is the only one who mentioned skin colour in this programme.
Yeah. And see, look, we have people from all over the place that we help and feed and clothe, and we do our best for them, right? And they're not all from Ireland, but they're Irish homeless as far as we're concerned. And there's over 14,000, 4,000 of which are children. Surely, like, we look after everything here first and foremost, and then take in as many as we can afford. I do feel sorry for these people sleeping in tents. They probably came here thinking land of 1,000 welcomes. They're going to get everything handed to them because Roderick O'Gorman basically said it in, 12 different languages or something?
Yeah, he said it
in those languages that they were basically going to have a great life here. And what have they done? What have they done? You know, and this weather is not for anybody.
I'd hate to be out in a tent in this weather, in fairness. You know what I mean? But we shouldn't be at... The whole thing is, we shouldn't be at that point. And absolutely, yeah. Look, people can come here and claim asylum. There's no problem with that if they're coming from a genuine war-torn country. And we should be able to provide accommodation. If we didn't let everybody else in as well, who's not entitled to actually be here, we would have enough accommodation to deal with people who are genuine cases.
Well, they proved that with the Ukrainian refugees. They proved that they could have found that accommodation for our homeless people first. They really could have. And, you know, I couldn't believe... Some of the people where I live, I couldn't believe that they were taking in Ukrainians. But one thing I noticed, right, that they were taking in Ukrainians that must have had plenty of money. The government were very clever. They put the very wealthy Ukrainians into Castleknock, and I saw their fancy cars all around the tennis club, obviously got free rein into that and everything, right?
Okay.
So they were very clever in the way that they did it, right? And I know women that took in Ukrainian refugees, and I would like to ask them, why would you never have considered doing that for Irish homeless? I don't understand.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that, LA. I'm running out of time rapidly. I just want to play a WhatsApp here and have to go to Malachy very quickly as well. Let me just play this.
How can I do it? Push it off.
I'm just talking.
Niall, in fairness, I was looking for my dog Squeaky Tie there for the last few months and I never knew that it was up there with you on the show. This is not fair, all. Saoirse, I'm telling you now, I need 2 paracetamol, 2 ibuprofen, and a bottle of gin just to get over you. Have a nice day.
Hi, now. You're speaking there with the founding member of the feminist movement. And to be honest, it doesn't matter what you say. Unless you're in agreement with her, you're a racist.
That seems to be the case, all right. That seems to be the case. Unless you're in agreement with her, you're a racist. She called everybody racist today. And in fact, to be honest with you, she was the only one who was a racist. Let me just go to Malachy finally on this. Just Malachy, unfortunately, I don't have a huge amount of time. But in relation to those people, the 1,013 people who found themselves with no accommodation, or 1,103 last weekend, and those numbers growing constantly all the time unless we can find accommodation, I'm asking people, do they have sympathy? You have sympathy, Malachy, don't you?
Well, of course, everybody has sympathy for people who are sleeping on the streets. But the reality is that those people should have been turned away at the border when they come into the airport. You know, there is no... What kind of a government says to people, come into the country, firstly, and in 3 months we give you your own door, and then a year later they're saying, oh, well, come in, you can sleep on the streets. But remember, the 1,000 people that are sleeping on the streets this week are not the same 1,000 people that were sleeping on the streets last week. Because the numbers are increasing every week, and they are putting them into accommodation, and they're not doing that to our own native people. You know, and Sarka there, you know, talked about colour. Nobody else has mentioned colour. We much like Georgians are white. The bulk of people who are coming into this country and availing of this process are Georgians.
Mm-hmm.
And she's totally wrong in our assertions in relation to the UN Convention. In general, you cannot apply for asylum from, say, from France to Ireland if you're a French citizen, because it's, the European Union is deemed to be safe for everybody. And we all aspire to this, or they aspire to this kind of liberal utopia where there's no persecution of anybody and all of these.
We've already added a couple of countries to the safe list, which means that if you come from those countries, for example, what will happen is, you know, you can apply for asylum, but you will be turned down immediately. Now, the only way...
No. That's not what will happen. That's what they tell you is going to happen. What they've told you is that they're going to speed up the process.
Yeah.
But they're only speeding up one part, the first part of the process, where you'll have an answer and a rejection, they say, within 6 months or whatever it is, right? But then, of course, you go to one of the NGOs, and then you go to the High Court, and then you're years going through the whole legal process that Irish citizens are paying for through the tax system and through all these.
I know, yeah, and there's a million reasons why you can say, I've been here so long that I've made my life, or I've married somebody or something, I don't know. Yeah.
And years down the road, the government will turn around, and if you fail at every level, you would then apply for humanitarian leave to remain.
Yeah.
And the gobshites that we have in government here will say, ah, sure, you're here for 10 years now, you may as well stay. And that's what happens. Nobody, just because you're rejected, and the vast bulk, Niall, long before they introduced the safe country aspect, or they increased the countries on the safe list, the majority of applications for asylum were rejected. But that doesn't mean you get thrown out or you leave.
But you don't get thrown out.
It actually makes no difference, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if people
the process is a joke, because as you rightly said, it makes no difference. You don't get sent home. You get maybe a deportation order and asked to leave voluntarily. So nobody actually gets chucked out. Leo Varadkar said we don't have open borders, but of course we do. We may not have them officially, but nobody gets refused.
No, I was talking to a friend of mine who comes from Pakistan or one of those countries there. And he lives in this country. He's lived here for quite a while. He was in England a couple of weeks ago and he lost his passport. And he reckoned he wouldn't be able to get back, or he lost his passport somewhere in transit, but he ended up in Birmingham. He simply got a flight to Belfast and got the train down.
Mm.
No paperwork, nothing. You know, now, he was genuine here. But there's a huge amount of that. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with that. And nobody should be able to get on. And you see, we and Sarka and all these people, or Saoirse, whatever her name is, it seems she wants freedom for everybody, you know, except sorry, people.
She doesn't have them stay in her house.
Her name doesn't live up to it.
Maliki, unfortunately, I've run out of time, Maliki, and I have to move on. Thank you very much indeed, Maliki, for coming on the air. Listen, loads of comments, by the way, coming in. Somebody says, Mike says, yes, they should buy them tickets back to where they came from. Government could easily solve this, says Paul. The crisis and the rough sleepers, if they wanted to, they're still trying to recapitalise the banks in 07 recession. Just look at the share prices compared to 06. Wayne says, should be doing more for the Irish that are already here with no homes. Jane says, why are we under the delusion that a tiny island can house, feed and support unlimited numbers of economic migrants? Our water supplies are stretched. We're being told we have to cut emissions, kill cows, stop driving while importing homeless migrants. Makes no sense. Belly Ellis says, the government, do not listen. This cannot keep going on. We're at full capacity with the people in line with services, GPs, hospitals, dentists, schools and prisons. And there's that Helen McEntee wanting to add to the problem by signing us up to another pack within the EU. Okay, loads and loads of, by the way, messages coming in. Thank you to everybody who got involved in that, by the way. We are going to move on in a second. But in the meantime, can I just say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of those who subscribed and donated to our website. Without your donations, without your subscriptions, we cannot do this show. It costs money every single day. We don't get paid, but we don't give a shite because we believe these are important issues that you should be entitled to have your say on. There is no other show in the country, no other show in the country on radio or television that you will be allowed to come on like those people did today and have their say on either side of the argument and have their say in the way they had it. Uncensored, we allow you to do that. So please support us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Thank you.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast.
Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.